been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, here we go again. The Ravens came back from New England with a W. Packing their bags, flying the jet, got that W on their backs as well. Gotta love that. But a real test is coming to town this week as the Ravens will battle the Buffalo Bills. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. We got a W to talk about here. And we got
just as you predicted.
That's right.
As I reluctantly tried to.
You were scared. I was not scared.
I was pissed off. I mean, how they ended that Miami game. You heard me. I challenged the team. I said, I challenged you to show me what you got. And they showed it. And I saw a wallpaper this week, Brandon. It said, watch how we bounce back. And they did bounce back. I mean, hey, you know, from a collective game, I mean, it was back and forth. It was chippy at times. It was an awesome game to watch. They had us thinking how they're going to pull it out, right? I mean, you know, the Ravens got the lead and then the Patriots would bounce back and get it. And you're like, really, this is going to be one of those like 38 to 35 type games. Right. And then the Ravens say enough. I mean, it was 20 to 13 Patriots. And then the Ravens before he looked up was 31 to 13, like they or 31 to 20. Like it was kind of like, it was awesome to see them bounce back in the way they did. Lamar just pretty much kind of one-upped his performance against Miami and said, here's what I can do with a Jackson 5. We'll talk about that more in depth. And, but the story of the day, two things. J.K. Dobbins' debut.
Sure.
Which I knew he was going to be on a pitch count, snap count kind of deal. I thought he looked good. But who looked great? Justice Hill with those runs, man. The running game had a boost. Could have been because J.K.'s back, and I love that. Justice Hill, for the lack of effort that he's been giving with the other three guys there, with Kenyon Drake and Mike Davis, you know, could have been J.K., you know, adding to the ranks there. And what was masterful on the back end? Fourth quarter defense, forcing three turnovers. Now, I believe all three were in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken. You know, you had the Peters pick, obviously, that sealed it. You had the punch out from Kyle Hamilton, recovery from Peters. And then you had the Marlon Humphrey interception in the fourth, if I remember, they were on the fourth quarter. So, you know, the Ravens in total were wrecking havoc and didn't falter. I mean, look, pass defense is still shaky, right? Devonta Parker gave us fits. I mean, they put up a graphic, I think, during the game, like he had, like, these little stats like this point in the season, and then today he had like five catches for 150, average like 30 yards a catch, which was dumb. So he was torching us all day, but when it mattered, the Ravens stepped up, they answered the bell, and they put the clamp down, and was a convincing 37-26 win, 11-point victory for the Ravens on the road, and again did something they haven't done before. They won in Foxborough for the first time in the regular season. And it felt good. They had a great win. I felt like it was a great response. And I think Harbaugh alluded to that this week, right? You heard him. And players kind of echoed it. Watch how we respond. You know, it's not what we just did. It's what we're going to do. And, you know, that's kind of why I went on the limb that I did and was like, you know what? I'm not picking it. I'm not even picking the Patriots to beat them. I'm not even picking the Ravens to win. Like, I'm like, no, show me what you got. Because right now, we talked about it. They had an identity crisis. Now, we can easily identify him now. It's the Lamar Jackson show, and the pass defense sucks. But they're doing enough to win. And, I mean, the Ravens lead the league in points scored. They're number one offense scoring-wise by a few points. Lamar Jackson leads all fantasy production, which is insane. And the dude is just solidifying him, showing him that his price is going up by the minute. What a performance, man. Jackson, five total touchdowns, four in the air, one on the ground to seal it. That was the game. I was talking to my buddy Chris at the time. We were watching the game, and I was like, watch, Jackson's going to throw a fifth touchdown to seal the game and throw Jackson five. And I mean, hey, he ran it in, but still counts all on the same. And, you know, everybody getting in the mix. I mean, Mark Andrews was beasting. The plays Lamar made on the ground and the air. The running attack was good. It was good to see everybody get in the mix. And I was really impressed with how the Ravens responded, man, against at the Dolphins. What say you, man? What did you think overall in the totality of the Ravens win here? What'd you say?
There was definitely a lot of good. There was still some bad. We're so early on in the season, so of course there's going to be things to fix. But like you said, this is the Lamar Jackson show. This team has been built around him. It really does show. He's doing some MVP work. A lot of people are saying better than that 2019 year, even. It's just amazing what this guy has done and what he's been able to do, putting this team on his back. It's just phenomenal what he's doing. So I absolutely love to see that. I thought the offense definitely looked fantastic. And you know who had a really quiet game was Rashad Bateman. And that was by design because the Patriots were ready and they were covering Rashad Bateman. And he was not available because he was covered so well by the Patriots. You got to give the Patriots props for that. However,
I had to talk people off the ledge. People were like, where's Bateman? And I say, remember, he's playing against Bill Belichick. Where what does he do? Take away your best player.
Right.
And I thought, well, I wouldn't say best player. I felt like Mark Andrews is the best pass catcher on the team, and obviously shows. But you know what the Ravens couldn't do Sunday was over the top. The Patriots were letting them get all the underneath stuff, and they weren't letting Lamar let the ball fly because obviously the first 2 weeks, what did Bateman do? Kill him with big long pass plays with Bateman. And Bateman had a 75-yard touchdown. So, but Bateman was left wide open and moved the chains. And Bateman's a dynamic guy where he catches the ball and he makes the move. He's looking to make plays, but you're right. You know, the Patriots did do enough to keep the lid, put the lid on the offensive firepower at least. But, you know, still the Ravens said, okay, you're going to do that. We're going to hurt you in other ways. And, and boy, did they do some damage.
And that's the best news coming out of this game is number one, that is a compliment to Rashad Bateman. 100%. The fact that Bill Belichick is like, hey, we're covering you because you're going to do some damage to our team. We're not going to let you have a day. So way to go to Rashad Bateman to be in this league for, what, a season and a half, maybe even one full season with his injury last year, and he's already made that big of an impression. That's huge. But the fact that the Ravens are able to have more than just that one player, they do have Mark Andrews, and Mark Andrews had a heck of a day. He really did. He absolutely – he looked fantastic. It was like Lamar and Mark Andrews of old, and that's what we want to see. So for Lamar to have these multiple weapons and be a multiple weapon himself, I mean, that just – that is fantastic for the Ravens. That is great news for us Ravens fans. It really shows how dynamic this offense is. But when I say that, I do want to ask you, this is a good but, is this a new Ravens philosophy? The Ravens were built with Ray Lewis and a shut them down defense. I mean, they won a Super Bowl because of the defense back in 2000. Is this a different team now? Because it looks to me as if the Ravens are now focused on Lamar, focused on the offense, and the defense isn't the strong point anymore. I think the strong point for the Ravens is Lamar, is the quarterback position, is the offense, and the defense has kind of taken a back seat because the defense has, in at least that Dolphins game, you know, let them come back. They were not as impressive as Ravens of old. Do you see that changeover where we are now an offensively minded team instead of a defensive minded team? And do you think that's the right way to go?
I say yes. I mean, you know, you're right. The staple that was once the Ravens, the vaunted defense, allowing 10 to 14 points a game and letting the offense go to work with ball control, the formula's changed. And not only that, but it's changed even over the last few years. You know, 2019, the Ravens had the identity of running, right, and passing less. Now I feel like the Ravens have transformed the offense into a more pass-heavy attack, and they're going to run less frequently, or maybe even a balanced attack. And I'm okay with it. I, for one, I am a defensive enthusiast. I love defense. I love the fact that, like, the defense is on the field and stopping the ball. I think that's why I didn't pick the Ravens. I took it personally last week because, you know, long are the days of the Ravens, like, getting stops. Like, the offense gives them a lead like that, and it usually, most cases, the game's over. Not only with the Ravens case, but in any NFL case. Like, okay, defense has to make one or two offensive stops, and boom, or defensive stops, and they're off the field. Ravens win that handily. And because long are the days, we're not used to seeing that. How many times have we seen the Ravens blow a lead like that? I mean, it's we've seen it before. It's not new, but we're spoiled with that defensive mindset. You know, the statues out front, Ray Lewis, staple for that, you know, and the Ravens, and I mean, they honor Siragusa pregame with Jalen Ferguson was great. Last week it's the Dolphins because I know Bills are next. And, you know, they were showing some highlights from, you know, Siragusa's day in that defense. And I'm like, man, gone are those days where that defense was downright nasty, right? But times have changed, man. You know, number 8's leading the charge. He's the new general now, leading the charge. And the Ravens are explosive. They're dynamic. They're exciting. And this is what they're about. They're about putting 30 plus points on the board and say, hey, I dare you score more than us and try to stop me, whether it's air or ground, Lamar Jackson and the playmakers around him. And the defense just has to make just enough plays to keep him at bay. So, yeah, I'm okay with it. I certainly recognize it. I mean, most people aren't probably fond of it. No, we want to get back to that defensive mindset. But, you know, you have to conform to the times right now. And the times are, you know, let's open up the offense wide open, man, and let fly. So let's see what happens in the coming future for the Ravens. But for right now, I think that's the identity that they built. It's, you know, more so not on the defense. And remember how many times have we seen it? Their draft picks were all defense, right? Like, right. Oh, we're going to get this and this and plug holes. And then they just fill in the offensive side with free agents and kind of patch that up that way. Now it's like we're drafting Rashad Bateman. We're drafting Lamar Jackson. We're drafting Mark Andrews. Like, yeah, they drafted, you know, some of the defensive players, but look at some of the players that are on the old guard. Like Marlon Humphrey was drafted, you know, by Ozzie, you know, a few years back. And, you know, obviously Marcus Peters was a free agent addition. And you look at that, I mean, you know, some of the key pieces on the defense, I mean, Patrick Queen was a draft pick, but, you know, mostly the defense is kind of mixed up between those acquisitions. I mean, look at the offense. The offense is built all on draft. J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hills from the draft, all the playmakers right now. You know, Devin Duvernay was not a free agent acquisition. He was a draft pick. So, like, you know, looking at the makeup, I think the Ravens understand it now. In this league, you got to get more towards the offensive side of the ball, and that's where the bread and butter is. You got to make it, and Lamar's setting the standard right now with Blazin' Trail for it.
Yeah, and I think this game especially showed that the Ravens' defense is not as good as the ones in the past. It might take them a little bit of time to get acclimated. They do have shining stars and some bright lights on this team. I mean, welcome to the NFL, Kyle Hamilton, who had a fantastic play, that punch out of that ball, perfectly timed. I mean, that's what you want to see. This is why we drafted that guy in the first round. And, you know, I said he was kind of missing in action against the Jets, but last week he had a good game against the Dolphins. He made Eric Weddle's grit list on Up and Adams last week, that punch out this game. He's making his presence felt. So hopefully that week one was just maybe some like jitters for finally being in the NFL. I'll put it to that. But he's showing up. He's working tremendously hard. So I'm really excited for Kyle Hamilton. But the defensive line is not doing the greatest job, and the secondary is being eaten alive. But a lot of that might due to the fact that Justin Houston went down in this game and Michael Pierce went down in this game. And from reports, it looks like Michael Pierce might be out for a while.
Absolutely, man. And the update on that is I did post it today on the Call social media Facebook page. Per Ian Rappaport, tackle Michael Pierce suffered a biceps tear. There is no definitive word yet on how to proceed if Pierce can continue playing at some point. Those tests and decisions are ongoing. Very unfortunate, man, because the guy's a beast. Big, big body up front. Right now, it's going to be a who's who to replace him. I haven't heard any names in the ranks. I don't know who's going to be, you know, fulfilling that big old void left by Mike Pierce, and we wish him well. Never like to see any casualties on any team, any field, but it unfortunately has to happen to us, and not too excited about this one at all. It leaves a big void.
I had to hold my breath as well because Calais Campbell at the beginning of the game, he kind of fell awkwardly, and it took him a little bit of time to get up. Luckily, he got up and was able to finish the game. But at the same time, like, he went down and kind of stayed down for a little bit. I just kind of was like, oh God, what's going to happen next?
Absolutely, man. And anytime a Raven goes down the field, whether they're holding their breath or anything, you really got to, I would say if any Raven player goes down the field, you want to hold your breath, because you never know what that could spell for the Ravens as far as disaster is concerned. And, unfortunately, there's another casualty out there. We wish Mike Pierce the best on the mend, but no time to waste. Next man up, and we'll see in the coming days on how they plan to replace Mike Pierce on the line. But defensive tackle there, it's going to be detrimental. But I know they introduced the new Ravens this week for the pass rush to address that. Just Pierre-Paul, JPP, as he's called by his initials. He has joined the Ravens this week. I know they signed a Brandon Copeland, who contributed on Sunday with a sack. So they're getting some players there, and I'm interested to see how JPP plays for the Ravens. The last one he played for the Buccaneers, he was formidable still. And a lot of people are like, well, how is his shape and all that? Well, number one, he worked out for the Ravens. I think Harbaugh wrote on him about his, how is he in shape? He passed the physical. So if the Ravens, willing to put $5.5 million out there on a 1-year deal for him and sign him to a contract, they feel he's ready enough to contribute to the Ravens. And I'm excited to see what he can bring.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see what he can bring as well. I think that they worked him out last year or in the offseason or whatever, and they couldn't come to an agreement, but it looks like they finally were able to get that done, a couple weeks in. So 1-year deal, happy to have him back here. And JPP, I kind of remember that song back in like the early 90s. I think it was like was it Naughty by Nature?
OPP.
OPP, yeah, you know me.
We were doing that in the group chat when we signed him.
You down with JPP?
And you know me.
I think everyone's going to be doing that. That song's got to play at the bank if he gets a big play or something.
Sack music.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to enjoy that. And, I really can't wait to see what's in store for, the Ravens coming up. I mean, looking past the New England game, and putting that win on the board was important. Stacking wins is important because they do have an important opponent on Sunday, man. Game of the week by many.
But yeah. Before we get into that Bills game.
Hey, look at that.
We're going to finish up with the Bills, but I want to bring up what happened during the Ravens game. Halfway through the game, they announced the halftime performer for the Super Bowl this year is going to be Rihanna. Not Rihanna. I've heard that on Good Morning Football like a dozen times. Not Rihanna. Rihanna. She will be the headliner for the halftime show. I'm not a huge Rihanna fan. I know a couple songs. She hasn't had music out in like 6 years, so I guess a new album's coming. But like, what do you think of this halftime performance? Are you excited to see her? I mean, it's been a while. I know she's a great performer. She's going to put on a great show. But like, when I think Super Bowl halftime show, that's not the first name that pops in my head.
No, it's not. And it's not for many. But we understand what the Super Bowl is. It's an entertainment spectacle for the world to see. Yeah, the game is there and the game's primary. But this is a time to showcase what it is. I mean, the Super Bowl halftime show has been a staple for entertainers and performers for years. We've seen entertainers take the stage. We've seen Michael Jackson take the stage. We've seen Paul McCartney take the stage.
Bruce Springsteen, Prince.
Bruce Springsteen took the stage. We've seen Aerosmith take the stage.
Yeah. Last year was great with Dr. Dre and iconic. Snoop and Eminem and Mary J. Blige.
That was iconic. Yeah, that was iconic. And M and And, the Ravens had a hodgepodge, too, on their first Super Bowl. They had NSYNC, Britney Spears, Nelly. I think Mary J. was part of that, too, as well. So, I mean, and then Aerosmith was part of that. So, I mean, there's been some iconic performers.
Tom Petty.
Can't forget Tom Petty. Yeah, absolutely. Rest his soul, man. And, I'm okay with it. I mean, it wouldn't be my first choice, but, I'm a fan of her music and, she's got some good tunes out there, and I'm going to see what kind of show she can put on. Again, it is what it is. It's football. For up to me, I would have those rock bands up there like Metallica and
let me stop you right there. Okay.
The Metallica would be my bucket list item for that, because I mean their songs are used in every stadium like every time.
But how has Metallica never played the halftime show?
I have no idea.
Like, I know they're not like they're not like what the youths are listening to right now. I understand that, but like Metallica was my first concert.
Springsteen wouldn't be.
Right, but like
everybody knows Metallica songs.
But
I mean, the Ravens come out to them, by the way. Like
right.
They were playing in New York when we were at the Jets game. Like Metallica's well known.
So here's the thing, though. All right, so like a lot of kids don't really listen to Metallica, right? This would have been the number one best year to have Metallica play the halftime show. Why? What happened over the summer on Netflix? Stranger Things. I mean, everybody watched Stranger Things. I mean, it was streamed, you know, they crashed Netflix when that finally was released for the new season. There is an iconic scene in that show where the character Eddie is playing an electric guitar and he's playing Master of Puppets. So that show introduced a whole new generation to Metallica, and they're digging Metallica. After Master of Puppets was on that show, like, it shot up the charts on Spotify. Everybody was checking out the Metallica catalog after that. You're telling me you couldn't book Metallica for the halftime show, and during the halftime show, you have the actor that played Eddie come up on stage dressed as his character in his Hell Club t-shirt and play the opening of Master of Puppets? Come on! It's right there! How did that...
I think we found a new job for you. I think you need to go in the NFL planning committee, whoever does this stuff, and you need to present that idea. That's
hire me, NFL.
Perfect marketing opportunity.
I mean, I know it's Apple Music and Apple TV and they're, you know, competitors with Netflix, but that scene was so iconic and so freaking metal. Like, to see it live at the halftime show, everybody would be tweeting and TikToking and everything about that halftime show if it were to happen that way. But instead, we're going to have Rihanna. She's going to do a fantastic job. She's probably got new music she wants to promote, and it's probably going to be in cooperation with Apple, so I get it. But this seems like it would have been the perfect opportunity to have Metallica and a way to get that younger generation that only knows Metallica because of Stranger Things to watch the game. I mean,
I agree. Yeah, Metallica would hopefully they'll make it before they're too old to start keep playing, man. And they've been on my bucket list for a halftime show, and every time it comes, I'm like, please let it be the year Metallica's up there. A lot of my friends agree. We've been having some discussions about it. But it was a weird thing because I'm looking at fantasy football updates, and right in my notification box was thrown in there that Rihanna was slated to perform the halftime show. And I'm like, on a Sunday afternoon when there's live games and you announce it then, very weird. I mean, obviously there's people talking about it, noticed it, but you know, when you're watching your teams play and you're more paying attention to fantasy and your football bets and football parties, why slide that in there at that point? Like, to me, I don't understand the initiative there and the scheme of breaking that news at that point in time. I mean, hey, it is what it is. I mean, people found out about it eventually, right? But that was a little weird. And then what's going on for this year, the NFL is actually doing away with the Pro Bowl, which I am actually okay with. They're replacing it with a skills challenge, a week long. They were kind of doing that already with the hybrid, you know, how they were doing the skills challenge with the receivers diving and the quarterbacks doing this. And years ago, they were doing it. Remember, there was footage on YouTube, maybe Brett Favre and all those guys, you know, throwing at the targets and doing this. The NBA does it. I mean, yeah, obviously the NBA plays the game. Can't compare the NFL game to NBA because obviously the NFL's got the contact. They don't like to make the contact in the exhibition game, what it is, which I get, player safety, whatever. But the NBA did it. The whole three-point challenge and the three-point shooting contest and the dunk contest are staples for them. You know, I feel like the NFL moving away from the actual game, which is basically two-hand touch anyway, and they're replacing it, I think, with like a flag football game variation, which is even more fun than that. You know, I kind of like that. You know, maybe pick team captains, maybe I don't know if I'm jumping the gun and didn't really rate it fully, but I feel like maybe they can incorporate celebrities on their team because it's flag football. Maybe have like a competitive with like a mix of NFL players that are voted on, but then you get your celebrities, or maybe, you know, a little good mix there. I think that would be good with some entertainers and some actors and actresses out there. And then, but I like it. The skills challenge, I think it'll be a welcome addition. They're doing away with the Pro Bowl game. I haven't came across anybody yet who was disappointed that the Pro Bowl is leaving. So I think it'll be well-received, and I think it's a good move by the NFL. I mean, high for one to have – the only time I watched the Pro Bowl was when Lamar Jackson got voted, you know, because I was pretty excited about that. And it was like the very only time I actually like recorded. I didn't watch it live. I recorded the game and kind of went back and watched, you know, it in the faster pace. But I, for one, have never tuned into the Pro Bowl. I mean, I was even given tickets for cheap from being a season ticket holder for the Ravens, of getting like tickets for like $30 at a Pro Bowl game, which is like awesome. But, you know, I'm okay with it. I'm excited about it and see where the future holds for that.
Yeah, I like it a lot. The NHL has the All-Star break, and they have a weekend. They used to do like a draft and stuff like that, and they do a tournament. But like, I never tune in for the tournaments and the games and stuff like that, because like no one's really taking it seriously or whatever. But I do tune in for like the fastest skater, or they do like the target practice thing with like tiny little nets on the ice and stuff like that. So I tune in for that kind of stuff, the shootout competition. So I think the NFL is definitely looking at that. You look at the MLB All-Star break, and they've got like the home run derby and that kind of stuff. Those kind of things are a lot of fun. The actual games, yeah, not really invested in that. So I think it's smart for them to do away with the game, do the flag football thing. And the skills competition, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. So I do like that. I think that's really cool. I think the NFL is really smart to do that, because like nobody watches the Pro Bowl.
Not at all.
Like, this could actually be kind of like, oh, I wonder, you know, it could be a competition and Justin Tucker is the best kicker every single time and see how far that they can make a kick and that kind of thing. So make a field goal. So we'll see what happens. But hopefully we don't see any Ravens in this Pro Bowl festivity, this week-long festival. Hopefully no Ravens are there and they're preparing for the Super Bowl. But in order to get to the Super Bowl, we got to go through Buffalo, got to go through the Bills, got to go through Josh Allen. So let's get ready for this game on Sunday. We're recording midday on Wednesday, so we don't have an injury report as we are recording this. But we do know Michael Pierce probably going to be out for a little bit. And the Ravens are preparing for Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. I think these guys are going to give fits to this Baltimore defense that we were just kind of complaining about a little bit. How do you think this Baltimore defense can best prepare for that dynamic duo of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs? Because we kind of saw what happened in Miami, against Miami, I should say, when Tua was able to get to his favorite targets, that our secondary was eaten alive. How do we make sure that doesn't happen against Buffalo?
I would actually go to the Dolphins-Bills game film. Dolphins, how they, because I feel like they put a lid on that. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it a week ago before they played the Bills, Stephon Diggs had a hat trick. He had three touchdowns. Josh Allen threw four touchdowns in his own right. You know, and I'm in the process, if I can find out which team I have him on. I have Diggs. Well, here's Diggs right here in fantasy. So he was targeted 11 times in that Miami game, caught 7 balls for 74 yards. You know, the week prior to Tennessee, he had 12 receptions for a 148 and 3 touchdowns towards the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, if the Ravens want to contain, I'd be happy with that same stat line against the Bills, against the Ravens, you know, or against the Dolphins for the Ravens there. You know, if you can keep Stephon Diggs out of the end zone, that's a W. If he catches 10 balls for a 150, that's still dangerous, but as long as he don't kill him on the board and make other guys do the damage, I'm okay with that. Get Gabe Davis involved, Dawson Knox. You know, the weak spot for the Bills is the running game. You know, I feel like that obviously they're a pass-first offense. That's their MO. If you can eliminate the ground game and really get Josh Allen. But Josh Allen, he's going to fall under pressure. If you've seen what the Bills did in getting him off his game, rattle him, they put the pressure on him and threw his timing off, get him uncomfortable. And that's the keys, I think, to success of really putting a lid on that. Now, don't get me wrong. Pass defense is still suspect. Still got a big black eye from what happened against the Bills, against the Dolphins. So sorry about that. It's crazy. We just played the Dolphins and the Dolphins played the Bills. And now we're playing the Bills. It's just all muddled. And then the Bills play the Bengals or the Dolphins play the Bengals on Thursday night. I can't keep up. It's all feels like a blur. Get back to the Bills game. Yeah. So that's exactly what I feel like the game plan should be. But we know it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough sledding and it's going to be nervousness, you know, settling for Ravens fans watching this game. Cause it's like, can they, but this will be the test for all those naysayers and haters out there that want to go, got to beat them right now. This is probably the game of the year. getting it out in week four is awesome because, you know, look, yeah, they play Tom Brady later in the month of October, and we get that, right? It's the GOAT. But looking at the slate of games this year, other than Tom Brady, who I know is still having a subpar year, getting his feet under him, he's had some receiver issues there under their own right, but that's another time, another story for another time. Focus on the Bills, but Josh Allen's the best quarterback that the Ravens face this year.
Right.
So I feel like, yeah, we get it. Tua and the receiving core there was a test for the Ravens. They failed that miserably. Going forward here, the test with Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and what they can bring, the Ravens really implement a good game plan here and snuff them out and kind of put a lid on what they can do. That's going to be impressive because it gives you hope for the future going forward for who they have to face later down the line. And then two, it kind of puts that bad taste of that Dolphins performance out of your mouth and out and get it out of your mind, right? It's like, okay, we can forgive that because they capitalized and built on it. You know, that's pretty much it. You know, if you can really get Josh Allen off his rhythm and really contain Stephon Diggs, not leaving wide open like they did Hill and Waddle 2 weeks ago. And again, I know Devonta Parker gave him fits on Sunday. I expect Stephon Diggs to still do the same in any respects, man. It's going to be another tough test for the Ravens to see what they're about. Getting it out early in the fourth game is going to be – it's going to be fantastic. And I can't wait to see how it plays out, man. I mean, you know, for this being a 1 o'clock game on Sunday is a shame. I feel like this should be at a 4:30 at minimum, if not maybe even Sunday Night Football. But we get it. We understand it. And don't matter what time, what day, what week, day of the week, line up, play football against these guys. And it's going to be a great early test, man. I can't wait for it to get it done. Looking on the other side, the Bills got to stop Lamar Jackson. Who can? I mean, Bill Belichick couldn't, and his team. They tried, couldn't do it. Putting up video game-like performances. I mean, dude, I played him against him in fantasy, and Lamar Jackson scored 50 points against me. Need I say more? The dude is amazing. He's doing again, we talked about it before. His price is going up by the minute. He's on pace to do some great things, and the Bills got their hands full, you know, stopping Lamar Jackson. What I'm excited about for this, now I see Lamar ball out again. And I alluded to this on social media earlier. This will be the first time that J.K. Dobbins plays in front of a packed house at M&T Bank Stadium. How fired up do you think that dude is right now?
How crazy. I know. How crazy is that? I can't believe this is technically his third season in the NFL, and he's never played in front of a hometown crowd. That's just wild.
I could put myself in this position how fired up I would be. I mean – New England was one thing, right? That was his first game in front of a huge crowd again.
Right.
He gets it the second time, but in front of the home crowd.
In front of the unkindness. Story.
That's right. Exactly. And I'm really excited to see what he's going to do out there on Sunday. But weather could be a factor for this one. Right now, there's rain in the forecast. We don't know what that might bring. I've seen it change from 80 to 60 in a day. Then I've seen the change from 60 to 50, then back to – I don't know. So stay tuned, I guess. It could be a wet one in Baltimore on Sunday. Don't know how much of a factor it is going to be, but obviously that does play into factor because it reminds you of kind of the Jets game in a sense. I mean, really didn't have a problem because obviously Lamar threw it all around against the Jets. But, you know, there were some drop balls in that game going back to week one. But, again, it was week one, the first time the team was out there fully. So we'll see – what the weather does too, but it could put a damper, you know, literally on, you know, some explosive plays and some of the things that both teams want to accomplish out there. And Mother Nature is certainly going to be a factor for us.
Yeah, we've got the remnants of Hurricane Ian coming up the coast from Florida, and it's supposed to hit Baltimore late Saturday into Sunday, and it's supposed to last all day.
By the way, all my Florida friends stay safe. I talked to a few in the past. One of my friends is in Key West. Some places are underwater completely. They have no power, but they're safe. Talked to a buddy of mine who's in the Fort Myers area where it was pretty much in the direct path. They're just out of the evacuation zone, more inland, but prayers for all, you know, that are impacted across the state of Florida and down south. Definitely nothing to take lightly, man. The thing is serious, and we hate to see it happen all the time. You know, hurricanes are no joke, and we play for all our peeps down in the south.
Yeah, absolutely. They said this was a 100-year storm, that this is one of the worst they've ever seen. So everyone –
it's going to impact a lot. I mean, Tampa Bay is slated to host the Chiefs on Sunday night, and that's going to probably be moved. And who knows what the league might do.
They're, They're practicing in Miami currently. Yep. They moved everything yesterday. So everybody, please be safe and just know we're all thinking about you. I mean, they're saying some of the damage could take weeks, if not months, to fix. So, I mean, this is a monster storm. It's scary stuff. And it's going to impact Baltimore. It looks like it's going to be just rain. It's just going to be weakened at this point because it's coming all the way up the coast. But this is a very scary storm. Take it seriously if you are in Florida. We'll see what happens on Sunday here in Baltimore, but the weather definitely will be a factor. Maybe we won't see the long ball as much from Lamar Jackson. I think, you know, we can kind of talk about our predictions here for the game, but I think this is going to be a very offensively heavy game. A lot of injuries for the Buffalo Bills on their defensive end. A couple injuries for us as well, and our secondary has been kind of suspect. I'm expecting a very high-scoring game. I'm expecting a lot of touchdowns, and I'm thinking it's going to go back and forth because I think both teams, their defense, are kind of beat up.
Absolutely, man. And that's exactly what I think the game plan is going to dictate is, number one, see what the weather does, the in-game adjustments and all that. I just don't know how it's going to go. I mean, you know, I know you gave me a hard time last week.
Did I?
My game picks. Yeah, you did. Everybody did. I'm like, look, I was pretty salty, man. That's why I was disgusted. I was like, you know what? I'm not picking. Yeah, I mean, the Ravens are 3.5-point underdogs as of right now coming into this game. I'm okay with it. You know, the Bills, obviously, you know, are a formidable opponent. They're everybody's pretty much AFC pick, Super Bowl pick this year. I think the Ravens can actually get this done, given that this game is here in Baltimore, given that Baltimore just came off a resilient win against the Patriots. Buffalo just took a crazy loss, you know, in a crazy game against a divisional opponent. You know, I'm glad they lost. I actually personally said that, you know, I almost wanted them to beat the Dolphins just so we can play the Bills on defeat and give them a first L. But to put them at 2-2 and to give an opportunity to go 3-1 is fantastic and put the Bills on the 2-game losing streak and to show everybody that the Baltimore means business. And, hey, you know, you're going to talk about the Bills. You know, right now Lamar's leading it all, leading the thing. And I think the Ravens can certainly get this done. I'm going to say 31 to 27 Ravens, I think, in this game.
I think this is going to be a fun one to watch. I think we're going to be pulling our hair out. I think it's going to be edge of your seat entertainment like it has been. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with the Bills on this one. I don't know if the Ravens can pull it off. I think the Bills, they got beat by Miami. Miami beat us. I mean, it kind of makes sense. I definitely see the Ravens as the underdog. But with the weather conditions, the way they're going to be, and how suspect our defense is, I'm going to say Bills are probably going to be winning. I'm going to say 42 to it might be more like the Miami game, 42 to 35. I think it's going to be something high scoring like that. But I think that the Buffalo Bills are going to give the Ravens fits, and I think we're going to see a Ravens loss, unfortunately.
All right, we're on opposite ends. I'd like to see how this plays out for us, and you know, I can kind of see your assessment there too. I just think that, you know, with momentum on the Ravens side and being a home game and a very important game, I feel like if this was an away, I'd probably have a different tune. I think it would be, you know, flip-flop for me, you know, 31-27 Bills maybe. But, you know, I want to give the – even though the Ravens are underdogs, I love what the Ravens are doing offensively right now, rain or no rain, you know, sun or clouds, it doesn't matter, rain or sleet, snow. I think the Ravens, you know what number eight's capable of. And I think, you know, when it's all said and done, yeah, you know, we understand Josh Allen is an elite quarterback in this league right now. Lamar is as well. But with Lamar, the dual threat, what he can do, he's playing at a higher level right now. And I think the better quarterback wins this matchup in a very close game, and Lamar continues to ball out. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this game. It's going to be a fantastic spectacle. And again, being that this is 1 o'clock, it really sucks for the league to showcase this game. But hey, it's fine.
You know, apparently, okay, though, if you look at the map, the majority of the country will be watching this game.
Unlike the Patriots game where it was weird. I had a lot of people even like out in Frederick, Maryland, they couldn't even get the game, you know, and they were like, how can we stream it? I'm like, it was a weird one. It was on Fox. It was a weird coverage day. But yeah, the Bills are getting Iron Eagle, I think, for the call on this, or the Bills Ravens are getting Iron Eagle on CBS for this one. And you're right. The majority of the country still will see this game. So it'll be showcased no matter what.
Yeah. All right, Josh, hey, is that the show for this week?
It is not.
It's not?
It is not. I got one more thing to get off my chest.
Uh-oh. Strap
what
in.
What I warned you about. You're like, oh, red alert. Red alert. What has he got now?
You bought a Mitch Trubisky jersey.
No, I burned that one. Yeah, exactly. No, but I will say this. I went over to my buddy's house, watched the game, and I took a picture of it. I sent this. I'm going to put this on the screen. I sent this to him, and he goes, you better not wear that over my house. I was like, you're not hardcore until you have one of these.
Bowler.
I was like, yes. I was going through my Ravens clothes, and I was like, look what I found.
Look at that. That's
these
vintage.
Were dark days, my friends. You're not hardcore until you have one of these. So don't tell me nothing about anything.
Yeah.
Speaking of quarterbacks, I want to unpack here. I'm going to have a discussion with you, man. I'm just over it. Why does Lamar still get the flack? I mean, are people that prideful that they don't want to – are they that egotistical that they just don't want to admit anything? Like, they don't want to admit they're wrong? Lamar balled out again. 5 total touchdowns. I mean, what more do you want? You know, I'm going to read some stuff to you. And I don't know if you've ever seen a more dynamic person, let alone even for the Ravens, let alone the NFL. Over the past 2 weeks, and this is per Jameson Hensley on Twitter, over the past 2 weeks, Lamar Jackson has wreaked havoc in Baltimore, New England, and every fantasy league. Jackson's 82 fantasy points over the last 2 weeks are the most by any quarterback in the 2 weeks span since 1950. Yes, they were playing fantasy in 1950. They were just doing it manually. We got now technology where everything's done for us. He eclipsed Ben Roethlisberger's 80.5 points in 2014 over a 2 week span. So put that up there. Nick Wright tweets out, Lamar Jackson, who still doesn't have a contract extension, has scored 4+ touchdowns in every game this season. And that's combined rushing and passing. The Denver Broncos, who gave Russell Wilson a smooth $250 million, has 2 total touchdowns in 10 quarters this season. And this was tweeted out on Sunday night at 10:07. You know, obviously the Broncos scored the rushing touchdown with Melvin Gordon late in that game, but still has 2 total touchdowns in what, 12 quarters, 11 quarters, 12 quarters. So that's another one. Mike Freeman of the NFL tweets out, are Lamar Jackson's critics going to talk about how incredible he's playing right now, or they just act like they don't see it? Sarah Ellison tweets out, say, and I see I save everything. Give credit for credit's due. On this purple Monday morning, this is Victory Monday for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson leads the NFL with total touchdowns with 12. He leads the NFL in passing touchdowns with 10. He's the only one in double digits. Lamar leads the NFL in pass rating at a smooth 119.0. And he is the first player to have 3 passing touchdowns and 100 rushing touchdowns in 100 rushing yards in 2 consecutive games. 5 total touchdowns on Sunday. What more do you want? And I had a good discussion on, and again, I welcome discussions, debates, but at this time, I'm tired of the ignorance. Just like Marcus Spears on one of my favorite shows, NFL Live, put out, he's pretty much tired of it. Like, the disrespect that he's getting, why? And I'm just sick and tired of it. I mean, Marcus Spears, former Ravens player, he played for Ravens 2013, says, right now, Lamar Jackson is the best player in the NFL, and Marcus Spears is tired of the Lamar disrespect, and aren't we all? Had a discussion on Facebook this week after the aftermath of the win. It was pointed out to me, because I was pointing out all of the Lamar stats that we just read, right? And somebody didn't like the fact that he was 27th in passing attempts, 17th in completion percentage, and 17th in yards per game. I don't think any of that matters. Why? Because, yeah, and I pointed out, how many attempts did Josh Allen have on Sunday? Flacco threw it 63 times. How many touchdowns did he throw? Did he win the game? Did he throw 4 touchdowns? No. Lamar only threw it 29 times and scored 4 touchdowns. And I pointed out he's doing less with more. I also pointed out, I didn't know that long touchdowns counted for more style points. He was talking about all Lamar. This is what I found funny about the disrespect. He was like, it was all dink and dunk touchdowns. Like, all the touchdowns were 6 of his 10 touchdown passes came from inside the 5. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you could get style points for long touchdown passes. I didn't know that matters. I thought you'd get an extra point and a half for that. I don't know. So I was like, okay, then white ball to Manning and Brady's dink and dunk touchdown passes over the years. A touchdown is a touchdown. No matter the artist or brother, you're wrong. And I'm not – I could easily call him out by name on the podcast, but I'm not. Just don't like to do that, but I'm just saying you're wrong. I'm going to use the airwaves to say you're 100% wrong. Compared to opinion, but when stats and facts back that all up, you can scoff at that all you want. You can – yeah, and the guy's right. He is 27th in attempts and 17th completion in yards, but – Josh Allen is, I think, the only one near past 1,000 yards passing. He don't have – so that's what I'm saying. If Josh Allen, who is the opponent on Sunday, has more completed passes than Lamar Jackson and probably almost 300 yards more passing, then why does he only have 9 passing touchdowns? I thought he was better. Why does Lamar have 10? Lamar is doing more with less. Let's call it what it is. That is awesome. The dude is balling out. He had a crazy game on Sunday, better than the Dolphins game. He's putting the team on his back. Bro, he accounts for 89% of the Ravens' offense right now. 89%. You take him off the team ain't doing nothing. That's a true difference in MVP. Yeah, and you can say that for any player, right? Mahomes, Josh Allen, we get it. But Lamar is playing on an upper echelon right now. No one can touch. He has a run. Dude, you know he's a top. He's leading in rushing yards per carry at 9.3. Of all the running backs in the NFL, running backs by committee, Lamar. Lamar, I put it out there today, and I think I put it out there on the call Facebook page, which was another crazy stat. Pretty much it was saying how Lamar leads all fantasy quarterbacks in scoring, and then he actually, if you take away his rushing stats, he's top 5. So basically he owns the first and the fifth spot if you take away his rushing stats. If you take away just Lamar's rushing stats, he's still the fifth best fantasy quarterback. Wow. And he owns the top spot with his rushing stats. Like, you can't appreciate that. I'm just not getting the arguments no more. I'm just going to either leave your comment be, or I don't know. I stopped the argument. I said, you know what? Again, I'm not trying to change people's minds, but if you're going to sit there and keep arguing me, I just digress. I was like, I disengaged. I was like, whatever. You're going to be ignorant. You're going to be ignorant, and you're a flat out hater, and that's what you are. Whether you deny it publicly on Facebook or Twitter or any social media, if I call you out, no, I'm not a hater. I'm just a realist. No, you're a straight out hater. If you can't acknowledge what he's doing right now and on that pace that he's blazing, he's on pace for over 60 touchdowns. I mean, Max Kellerman, who's been very vocal of, you know, bashing the Ravens and Lamar, he was actually gushing about Lamar this week. You know, we all knew Max Kellerman is and it's just, to me, I'm just tired of it, man. And just like Marcus Spears pointed out in NFL Live, he is the best player, no matter who's lined up out there. He's, in echoing his words, he's the best player in the NFL on the field at any given time because of his athletic ability. Yeah, people can scoff. Well, I want to see consistency. Well, I want to see him do this. Fine. Okay, cool. But for the first 3 weeks, as of this point in the NFL right now, Brandon, he's blazing a trail that none seen, and I would pick him over anybody. I mean, like I said, I thought Mahomes was better. He threw a pick to end it against the winless Colts. You don't see Lamar doing that. What if that was Lamar Jackson against the Colts with the Ravens, and they handed the Colts their first win? Oh, Lamar Jackson be crucified, burned alive. Are you kidding me? Like, just imagine the airwaves in the internet if that was Lamar. Like, he's blazing a trail, and I'm like, I'm just frustrated, and that's how I wanted to have a discussion about it and get off my chest here. I'm frankly over it. I mean, at this point, I'm just going to laugh, and I'm just going to keep posting stats, and he keeps balling out. It's going to happen. I don't know, but are you just as excited to see what he's doing, you know, not only for the Ravens, but, you know, with his ability in the league and how dynamic it is? And again, with his playing ability, Ravens going to have to write a blank check at this point, because if he continues at this pace, he's going to get more than anybody. I'm not kidding. And he's well deserving of it. And he's showing them why he's MVP and why pay the man. You can think he's inconsistent and all that, but right now he's blazing a trail. And for the first 3 weeks at this point in time, we don't know what the future holds for the rest of the year, but right now he's unstoppable. And Bill Belichick didn't have a game plan for that. So call it what it is. What say you, brother? What say you?
That's the most fun thing about Lamar Jackson, is you never know what you're going to see. It's you're constantly shocked at what this guy can do. It is amazing of the things that he comes up with and how he can extend plays and make things happen. He makes plays happen out of nowhere. I mean, that's what I enjoy about Lamar Jackson and watching him. The whole contract situation, I wish that would just go away. I wish they could have come to an agreement on the off season. I wish they could have done something.
Speaking of that, did you see the thing I posted on the media about Jalen Ramsey and Bobby Wagner talking about it? Give it a listen.
I didn't see that. I'll
give it a listen because they both have opposing views on it, and they're both current players right now. And Bobby Wagner and Jalen Ramsey having a conversation about it. So give it a listen. I'd like to hear your thoughts next podcast and what you think. But yeah, you're right. Like I said, frankly, at the beginning of the season, right? I'm just tired of talking about it because he's going to get it. Just depends on how much, and he's worth it. But right now, the meter's going up.
You should check out a video. I think I posted a week or two ago of Pat McAfee talking about the Lamar's contract and how, like, all of this is because of the Cleveland Browns. Like, the Cleveland Browns are trying to, like, bankrupt the Ravens. Like, they're playing money ball in the division to make us make a move on this player if we sign Lamar to a specific number, that means they don't have to pay Deshaun Watson the guaranteed money like they said they would. So listen to that as well. It's a Pat McAfee thing. I did put that on the call Facebook page a week or so ago. That was very intriguing because I'm like, this really is like Moneyball, where you buy your competition, kind of like forcing their hand to pay him X amount of dollars. It's wild that this is going on. But yeah, seeing Lamar Jackson play every week, I'm always excited to see this extra weight or muscle that he has put on in the offseason seems to have worked out for him. He hasn't slowed down at all. He's still got a powerful arm. He's a dual threat. He is this team. He is this offense. That part does scare me, just the fact that if one player goes down, we saw it last year, then there goes the season. So that part does scare me. However, you know, he's a special kind of player. He really is. He's once in a lifetime type of player.
He is, man. One of one. And what's even better this year is his ability to handle the blitzes. Right. Remember last year, the Dolphins game, cover zero and all that. He couldn't handle the blitz. He was flustered. This year, he's actually the best quarterback against the blitz. I think most, if not almost all his touchdowns are against the blitz. He's killing it right now. And until the other shoe drops, there's none better. And to have a 100-yard rusher and a passer who can post up 3+ touchdowns a game all in one, what more? I mean, it's a fantastic thing, and I love it. He's exciting. He's dynamic. I love it. You know, he's my generation, because I was still obviously alive when Vic played, you know, before all that mess came down upon him. You know, Vic was actually that. He was a transcendent player who played the position differently. I think Lamar alluded to it before. Just because I do it differently doesn't mean it's wrong. You know, I think a lot of people don't want to side with Lamar because it's, well, quarterback shouldn't run. Okay, well, then running back shouldn't catch the ball. Dual threat. Oh, wait. And then they always backtrack. I'm like, no, Alvin Kamara shouldn't be catching 10 to 15 balls a game and getting targets because he's a running back. That's the receiver's job. But quarterback's job is only to throw. No, right now it's changing the game, and I'm here for it. And for all those people who say running quarterbacks get hurt more, let's all count all the pocket passers right now that are hurt or getting ready to come back off an injury, two included. So I rest my case on that. But it's a great discussion. I mean, I'm just frankly tired of the slander. And from this moment on, I'm just not going to argue with you. I'm not going to go back and forth with you. I'm continuing to post my stats. You want to be negative? You want to naysay? That's fine. It's your opinion. It's your right. Free country. But, you know, I'm just going to laugh at you. And I'm going to laugh at you publicly. And I'm going to laugh at you on the show because, you know, he's doing things that other quarterbacks aren't doing. And you want to cherry pick stats because he's middle of the road in the others. That's not the way to do it, because I can easily do that against the other quarterbacks too. So be ready to have that conversation too. So. Well, rest my case on that, and let's let 8 ball out, and can't wait to see what's in store.
I will say the best thing about Lamar Jackson is the fact that he is wiping the name of that quarterback that you mentioned just a minute ago. They're wiping his name from the record books. Don't forget, adopt, don't shop, help out some rescue animals out there. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is go over to our Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Make sure you join our server over there. And if you guys do want to watch along with us for a Ravens game or something like that, Josh and I have been toying with the idea of doing a premium service over on Discord where we would be live on Discord watching the games with everybody. Of course, we can't stream the game. There's all kinds of copyright violations with that. But if we did a live audio chat with you guys while a game was going on, that's something that Josh and I have been toying with. If that's something you'd like to do as a premium content, as like a premium member of Discord, let us know if you'd like that idea, and we'll do that for a game potentially later on down the road.
By the way, we appreciate the folks that jumped on there. I've seen some conversations, some new subscribers to the page. I've seen Brandon interacting with them on game day. I chime in as obviously when I pull it up. I'm very appreciative of some of our new subscribers and listeners there and interacting with us on our new platform. So we appreciate you. Hopefully everybody else can join in. I know it's new for us, new for everybody, but hey, you know, if you know it better than us, we appreciate all suggestions on how to navigate the new application. We've had some help along the way getting set up with the Discord team, but you know, we're still trying to figure out how we can use it to our advantage and make it fun for everybody. So we're open to any and all ideas and suggestions.
Absolutely. So make sure you go over, like us over on Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join our server over there. Now, of course, you can still check us out over on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there as well. We're always posting what we find news and noteworthy to our Facebook page, so you guys can check it out. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, download for free. You're on our Discord for free. We ask in return for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so very much. Always enjoy it every time, every show, every Ravens game. Can't wait to see what this one has in store for us. Ravens, Bills, man. Bills are going to be our toughest test probably of the year. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what the Ravens can do against a really good passing attack with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. And, hey, the Ravens can take care of business and Lamar continue to ball out. Silence more people and prove to everybody that I can't wake up on that victory Monday morning and turn on NFL Network and they're gushing about the Ravens because they just took care of the Buffalo Bills, which is everybody's favorite this year. And apparently, you know, it was Buffalo was the favorite for Super Bowl and Josh Allen was the perennial pick for this year for MVP frontrunner. And Lamar saying, remember me? And I love watching 8-Ball go. It's my new nickname for Lamar, 8-Ball. I love it. And can't wait to see what's in store for Lamar and the Ravens to take care of the Buffalo Bills. But it's going to be a tough test. Can't wait to be down there at the bank watching it with our flock and everybody else. Enjoy the game. Root hard. But remember, always win, lose, or draw. It's always Ravens 100%. And let's go about it. How about giving 100% and then some against these Buffalo Bills? Will the Ravens take care of business on Sunday? Can't wait to see how it all unfolds and plays out. With that being said, let's have it. Baltimore Ravens against the Buffalo Bills. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.